Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of Christmas and the joy that you give us. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit interacts with our spirit so that we hear your good news, we receive your good news, and we see your perspective of life. Lord, help us. Help us to grow as your disciples. Comfort us where we need comfort. Redirect us where we need redirecting us. Teach us where we need teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What gives you joy? What are the things that give you joy? It's interesting that joy can be something that is subjective, and things that give us joy today can disappear tomorrow. Well, Isaiah writes to some people, and I want you to listen to those some words again. I'm only going to read from verse 1 and 3, and I'll put this in perspective. Isaiah writes to some people who are not in the best situation. And I'll explain a bit more about that in a few moments. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. Isaiah hasn't got the most favourable job. He's a prophet, but he's got to bring God's good news amongst people who have been suffering and going through difficulties. And when we get to Isaiah 61, one of the problems has been is these people have encountered problems. They've been in exile, which means they've been away from Jerusalem. And to put it into context, their understanding of how to relate to God is they needed the temple. They couldn't pray outside the temple, so they needed the temple to relate to God. And the temple was miles away in Babylon. Well, they've now been returned. They've now returned from Babylon. They had a nice, sympathetic king in Babylon who let them go back. And they've probably been praying, even though they didn't have the temple, and probably hoping that God would save them. And they're thinking, well, we're going back home. Things are going to be good. Well, they get a fantastic house. It's going to be great. The problem was, when she got to see it, it needed major renovations. And she wasn't happy. And he said, just keep trusting me. And she was not happy. But eventually, as the husband did work on the house, she could see the potential, could see the vision he had. Well, Isaiah has such a vision, and his vision's even better than that. It comes from God. And he promises that God will not only look after you, he's going to bring you this everlasting joy. Now, our problem in today's society is we often relate joy to happiness. And we say things like, I just want to be happy. I'm just going to do things that make me happy. Right? Have you ever done that? I'm just going to do things that make me happy. Or we may even go a bit further and say, I just want my kids or my partner or my parents to be happy. So I'll do whatever else makes them happy. And this is one of the excuses that some parents will give, tell me of why they're not coming to church. I want my kids to be happy. It's the reason that some people say to me, oh, we're going to leave this church and go somewhere else because I just want to be happy. There's this idea of happiness. Well, the problem with happiness is it's a short-term thing. Happiness usually relates to our current circumstances. Right? And so sometimes I've had people say to me, I don't celebrate Christmas. I've got too much misery in my life. I'm not happy. And yet there is an opportunity to be happy, to have joy, to have true joy from God. Have you ever noticed most of what gives us happiness doesn't last? Have you ever noticed that? That most of what gives us happiness is not long-lasting. Or the things that made us happy today are not going to make us happy tomorrow. And so, what does it mean for us to have joy? Well, joy and happiness are kind of related, but joy is a far superior thing that we can have. God says to us, we can have joy even when life is difficult and challenging. You know, In Thessalonica, there's this passage that sometimes gets people really upset. And I've had one lady in a Bible study yell at me, tell me off. And it starts off, rejoice always. And she said to me, how dare God tell me to be unhappy? He should know I'm going through misery. I shouldn't have to be rejoicing. Well, what that passage is highlighting is to rely on God to have joy. Look for the things you can have joy amongst the difficulties. And I remember before I went on my extended leave I had earlier this year, my wife said to me, expect something to go wrong. You won't know what, but expect it, considering you're away for 7 weeks. And it did. I had a train strike when I was supposed to go from Frankfurt to Paris. I had to quickly organise stuff. And somebody else said something else, and I remember my wife saying this, because somebody else said something on, and don't let the bad stuff that happens on when you travel take over your mind and life. You won't enjoy it. You'll be so consumed with the bad stuff that you'll miss out on all the good things. I think that's a good message for life. We can become so consumed with the bad stuff. And this is why joy from God is so different from happiness. Happiness often relates to just our current circumstances, to what's happening now, to a feeling that we may have today, to our perspective. Why joy comes from somewhere else. Joy comes not from our current circumstances. It doesn't come from necessarily what's happening today. We can be joyful, but from some good things happening. But deep down, true joy comes from God and His promises. True joy comes from God and His promises. You know, we live in a world that is full of bad stuff happening, right? If you're a news addict, a bit like me, you know, every day one of my rituals is I want to look at the news, and it's 90% bad news, right? And it can get you demoralized, and you can get sucked in to thinking the world is terrible, it's going to end, no, it's going to go on. Sometimes I can be mopey, grumpy pastor. And my wife will tell me to listen to my own sermons and to read the Bible. Because at one stage I remember her saying something like this. I don't know if she exactly said this, but something like this. She said, this week you thought the world was going to end. Well, you thought that last week and it hasn't. Right? And that's because we get focused on our own circumstances and we forget about what God is saying to us and the joy that He wants to give us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, we hear, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. If you want joy, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. We need to rely on God. Remember this, passage after passage in the New Testament. If you want to see people who have joy amongst difficulties, just read the New Testament. Their whole circumstances, from an earthly perspective, was not good. It was tough. They were under persecution, they were under suffering, they were minority groups. There were people who didn't understand them. They fought amongst themselves at times. And yet, they could still have joy. And why? Because they listened to God and relied on God. Now, this is not saying that your bad or sad situations are not relevant. God does say He'll cry with us. God does invite you to bring all your problems and worries and concerns. But what this part of the scriptures are talking about is to encourage us to see that they can have joy in all circumstances. Remember, there's a passage in Romans that says, God can do anything. God can turn anything, what God can do, turn anything into good. And Genesis, which is that favourite passage of mine, it's very similar. Joseph says to his brothers, what you intended for bad, God can use for good. And it's a passage that I kind of hold on to, which helps me look towards God for joy. When bad's happening, what good is God doing here? Not complaining, but look, trying to discover what the good that God's doing. And if joy comes from God's promises, let's have a look at a couple of those promises. Now, there are many promises throughout the New Testament, but one of those that we know is this promise of eternal life. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from life to death." Occasionally I have people say to me things like, "I'm not sure if God's going to forgive me. I don't know if I'm good enough to be forgiven." If you ever feel that way, I can understand that, particularly if you're very contrite about your sins. But can I assure you, there is no sin that God won't forgive of yours. And your forgiveness comes not through you, but through Jesus. Through you trusting in Jesus. And that's the promise of God. Another promise we quite well know is in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Jesus says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Do you recognize that? That God is with you always to the very end of the age. Sometimes you probably don't want God to be with you. But he is. Sometimes we can't see him. We don't recognize him. Remember, Jesus reveals to us at times that he appears in unexpected places. Remember, he tells this parable of the sheep and the goats in Luke. And that he says to people, "You know, you fed me, you clothed me." And they go, "When did we do that?" And he said, "When you fed or clothed the least of these, you fed and clothed me." And so there's this promise from God to be with us always. And then there's another promise that's in Romans chapter 8, verse 37 to 39. And we hear, "Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through whom he has loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God will never give up loving you, is the promise he's making here. Now, this passage can be challenging, particularly if you have children or family members who have walked away from the faith, who have said, "Oh, I don't want anything to do with God," right? And you go, "Well, God's made this promise." This passage is saying God's going to continue to love them. He's going to continue to persevere to love them. The issue is for them is to recognize and accept that love. God doesn't want to force anyone to be in heaven, but he will continue to love them. And another story that highlights this is the prodigal son. If you remember the prodigal son story, the father figure is a picture of God, and God loves the ratbag son, no matter what. These are just three of the promises that God gives us, and these can give us joy when we live like this. So when life goes bad, when other people reject us, when things are not going well, we can rely on God's promises to say, "God still loves me." Right? And so when we come to Christmas, we get this great opportunity to celebrate Christmas. And I don't know about you, but I love Christmas. I love the food. I love the opportunity to be with family. That's one of the reasons I took last week off, is to spend time with my family for Christmas, my nieces and nephews. I love a lot of the celebrations that go along with it. And I love, most importantly, the story of Christmas that comes from the Bible. Because that story of Christmas reminds us is that God is like the delivery driver, delivering on his promises, and his promises through Jesus. I'm not quite sure if you've pick this up ever, but in the scriptures, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20, it says all the promises God's make are delivered to us through Jesus. This is what it says: "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." Our passage in Isaiah chapter 61, you may have remembered. You may think, "I've heard that before," when that was read out. And the reason you would have remembered it is often it's a reading that Jesus says at some stage. And Jesus says in Luke, quotes those very words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." All the promises of God are made possible through Jesus. And that means for us, if we want to have joy, we need to keep connected to Jesus in all circumstances. So what do we do about our troubled world? What do we do about living in this troubled world? What do we do about the problems of the world? When you get with friends over the next 7 or 8 days, what are you going to do and talk about? When something comes up about the news, what are you going to do? And how are you going to respond to the negative news? What are you going to do about the challenges? And if you're part of the Lutheran Church of Australia and you know that we've got some major challenges coming up in the next 12 months at least, how are you going to talk about this? One of our temptations is we can become the grumbling chorus. We can become a chorus of eels, the chorus of negative Nevilles, complaining, whinging, saying there's no hope in life. We can be focusing on the sin and think it's terrible. Or do we do what Jesus says to do in Matthew? Matthew chapter 5 verse 16. Where he says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And to put that into a context, the light that you're shining is not you, it's Christ. The light that God calls you to shine is a light that you've received from God. A light that has been made possible because Jesus came at Christmas to save the world and not condemn the world. We have an opportunity to share good things. When I was away, I met somebody in Horsham that I know fairly well, and he came up and shared something with me, which was, I was quite taken back that he was open about some negative stuff that was going on. And what was wonderful was God just gave me some stuff to say that encouraged him rather than be drawn into the negative story. And so can I encourage you to think about, to pray to God and say, "God, help me to speak your light, your love, your grace, your hope into a situation." Because we are a people, because of Jesus coming to earth, have a future. Not a maybe future, a guaranteed future that's made possible by Jesus. So what does all this mean for us as we live the faith? First of all, keep engaging with Jesus, his word, his promises. Because that's where our joy is going to come from. Keep listening to Jesus every day, whether it's our short Advent devotions, whether it's into your own Bible study or reading. Keep coming to worship. Keep thinking about what does God have to say. And focus on the promises and the long-lasting good news of Jesus. Remember that path, what it said in Luke? This Christmas gift of Jesus is good news for all people. It's the way all people can have a future and be saved. But thirdly, pray to God that he shapes your heart and the hearts of others with joy and hope in all circumstances. So rather than being the chorus of grumbling people, that we be the chorus of people with hope and joy in a world that's going through difficulties. It's not ignoring the problems, because the next point is important as well, is practically care where you can. Practically care for people who are struggling so they see God. And you know how people see God? Is when they see Christians at work caring for others. This will bring hope into the lives of others. James makes this comment, and you can see when, if you read the book of James, James gets frustrated by people who say they've got faith, but their faith is just words. He encourages us to have faith that is action as well. We have a lot of things to be joyful for, a lot of things to have hope for. And I think this theologian kind of sums it up in the way what joy is about. Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. It is the presence of God. Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. It is the presence of God. And it reminds me, from time to time, it's easy to fall into the negative comments, the critical comments. Right? But is that sharing God's joy? Is that living in God's joy? Or rather, looking at what God can do here, how God has helped and can help, and keep reminding that God loves us no matter what. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the wonderful gift of Christmas, for the joy you give us through Jesus. May we be people who continue to live with hope and have that joy. And this Christmas be with all people here. Encourage them and help them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.